Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, it's just another a weekend after a snowstorm that we've had here in Iowa, and it is January at the same time. How can you ever be in Iowa? And one day, it is almost 46 degrees, and the next day, we have a blizzard on our hands. Only in Iowa does that happen. But I tell you what, I like the seasons. I'm thankful that we live in a state that has all four seasons, and it's a good thing. As we get going here, I just want to give a shout out. We had a wonderful time at Vital Gathering last weekend. Had a good group of folks that came out in the midst of the cold night, and also too in the midst of the situation of things were. And I tell you what, folks, we had the experience of the Holy Spirit. The food was good. The worship band, Vital Ministries worship band, was outstanding. I believe I gave a good word of the Lord that the Lord had impressed upon me, and I think it was just a good time. So just bear in mind, we got our next one's coming up the second Sunday in March. You won't want to miss that. I believe that's March 8th. Just put that down on your calendar and be looking for that. We haven't got a theme set, but I trust the Holy Spirit will reveal that to me as we get closer. Also, too, just bear in we send out devotionals out six days a week, and you don't want to miss that. There's just some good stuff for both men and women. Vital Men, we have five different writers that write for the men, and then also to my wife writes for what I would say both men and women, and it's just some really good stuff. It's a nugget in the midst of your day, a word of encouragement. So I just encourage you to participate with that. Also, too, Vital Men are back in all three locations. Knoxville is up and running again. You can get online and find out that location. Also in Ottumwa, they meet at the coffee shop down over in that area. Great time. Look in that if you're down in that area. And also, too, Vital Men. We're back at the Vital Ministries building, and we had a good group of guys. We're hoping to fill that thing up to the point where we've got to move, and I'm excited about that. We're getting close to that point already, and I'm just thankful to see the growth and the hunger amongst men in the midst of the times that we're living, and that's what I'm seeing. I'm not going to say that revival is coming, folks. I believe with this in me that it has already started. It's already moving, so we want to definitely be a part of that as well. But let's jump in this morning. It says, the past 2 weeks we've been talking about having hope in the midst of the storm. You don't have to walk too far to see the disbelief and the anxiety in the places of democracy and the places in which we're headed in our nation. We continue to see our freedoms of speech being taken away. And without a doubt, our nation is in the midst of the storm. And it's hard to believe this Sunday that 3 days from now is the inauguration. And with that creates a lot of anxiety. We've never had an inauguration in my mind, with the exception of probably during the time of Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. But this will be a time for us to be hope-filled and also be trusting God in it. We've all had our ears pierced to hearing what is truth. I encourage you to hear truthfulness comes from different places that I like to listen to, and I think brings truth in the midst of news. Number one is called it's the Victory Channel. I give you an opportunity to look that up. It's you can get that off of YouTube. They speak a lot of truth. Another one is Newsmax. That's another good source that I believe is good for hearing what is truth, and also TBN. These are all good resources of hearing what actual truth is, as opposed to what I call things that are distorted or things that are what I would say moved to make us move to their sort of thinking. We find today that we stand in faith in Christ, and if you stand in a certain political party, you will be chastised for what you actually believe. Now, this is important, and hear me on this. Violence and hatred is never, ever the answer to this situation. It is essential for believers to abide in a kind and a loving manner. That's key. That's important. Throughout history, we find struggles, trials, and especially storms in history and in the Bible. Many hearing my voice today are wanting to hear the words of hope. Only in God's word and in Christ will we ever truly receive the hope that we're looking for. I like what the prophet Wanda Alger stated. I still believe, and it's time for crazy faith. Hebrews 11:1 puts it this way. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen, and it gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. So this is what I'm trying to say to you this morning, that we can have hope in the midst of the storm. Decree with me today that I still believe, and it's time for crazy faith. Can you get excited about that truly this morning in believing that? That our Creator is calling for such a time as this to stand for what you believe in. I shared with the men this past week at Vital Men, and I shared with them and I said this, you were created and you were put on the planet for such a time as this. And it's essential in the right ways to be standing and hearing what God is saying and also to stand in your faith. Now, maybe this morning you're driving down and you caught us up on KBOE 104.9 FM. I want to thank you for joining us today. I really believe with all that's in me, we got some really good stuff. A lot of you are headed on your way to church. I appreciate that. Many of you would tell me you actually walk into church late because you want to hear what's being said. That's even more, that's awesome. And also, too, many of you have shared with me, this is actually your time, your church. This is where you get the bread of life. And I want to thank you for joining us with that as well. But as I have only one point for us this morning, and we're just going to hone it today. It's time for crazy faith. We're going to go back to the book of Judges. We're going to look at a man by the name of Gideon. We've been talking about him the last 2 weeks. And we're going to look at what I look at in this book of the Bible, Judges chapter 7, make ready for the army. And let's join with me today as we look through verses 1 through 8 and see what the word of the Lord says for us today. So Zerubbabel, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley and in the hill of Moriah. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. Next it says, but the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put those who cup their waters in their hands and lap it with their tongues like dogs, and in the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. Now, why is this important for us this morning? It's some really good stuff. It says this. I believe that the Lord was challenging Gideon's faith by how many he would have in his army. He wanted to make sure that this Israelite army could not boast about the victory that God was going to give them. God wanted them to see that the victory was truly given by God himself. Now remember, Gideon is been a man who's looked for signs all along the way. He's just that kind of guy. He wants a visible assurance that God is with him. And if you go back and you remember in Judges 6, 33 through 40, Gideon is actually looking for a sign from God that he will truly go and use Gideon to rescue Israel from the Midianites. Gideon asked for a sign. Two nights he asked for that. The first sign, he says, if I place a fleece of wool wet on the stone overnight, will you make it dry the next morning? He asked God for that. He wants a sign. He wants a fleece. So God does it. He takes the wet wool, and then the next morning, it's dry. But that wasn't enough yet for Gideon. Gideon said, I need a second sign. Let's put it in reverse. Let's place the wool dry on the stone overnight, and will you make it wet the next morning? So God does it. But before we judge Gideon, let's examine our faith a little this morning. Many have been looking for signs from God that America will stay a nation of faith and that, in truth, that our current president will have another 4 years. We've looked for a sign and the election fraud would prove itself. Didn't happen. We looked for a sign during the Electoral College that it would be proven that Vice President Pence would actually stand. It didn't happen. Today is January 17th. We are literally 3 days away from Inauguration Day, And in the physical, nothing is moving and nothing is changing. And sometimes we look up into the sky or we simply ask, Lord, we need a sign. And ask in the midst of it, Lord, where are you? See, Gideon is doing the same thing. God, you're calling me to lead, and I've given you all the excuses and the weaknesses that I can actually think of in my own mind. So, what does he do? He asks God to give him a sign. See, Gideon didn't realize it was a time for crazy faith. God answered his signs, and it was the time to stand, step into the moment that God was actually leading him. And I believe that many this morning that are hearing my voice today need to hear this word, that it's a time to stand. Don't have weakness of faith asking God for a sign, because I'm gonna move into that a little bit more this morning, but standing in the faith and trusting of what we cannot see. See, some people say that it's not biblical or right to ask for God for a sign. In truth, Gideon's faith was actually weak. He didn't have what we have today. We have the complete Word of God, the Bible itself. The Bible is thoroughly able to equip us in every decisions of our lives. Secondly, we have something even more so that Gideon didn't have. We have the Holy Spirit. He speaks to everyone who will listen to hear his voice. I've personally heard the Holy Spirit speak my name in the midst of the night, calling me Michael. And even one time when I was on in the midst of a day and I was praying and I was fasting, and the word of the Lord spoke to me. He says, I'm going to change your name to Rhema. Be my voice to those who will listen. That's why I believe that God has allowed me to be a voice in Vital Ministries. He's given me that mantle. I don't take it lightly, and I also, too, I'm humbled by the very thought. But see, now God spoke directly to Gideon. Now get this. Gideon is standing in front of 32,000 men ready to fight for Israel. A good army to fight an army that looked like locusts in the land in which they live. But God says, I want to ask the question. And again, that we see in the midst of Gideon's life, he's timid and he's afraid. And they were afraid to leave the mountain. So 22,000 men who were afraid and timid walk away that day, leaving only 10,000 men. These men were ready to fight. They were warriors. And Gideon still in his mind thinking, we can still win. Assured victory. But God had another way. He tells Gideon, there are still too many. Divide the men into two groups. Go down to the water and watch them drink. See who drinks from their hands as to those who stick their face into the water to drink. Now, there's been a lot of messages that's been spoken about that, of why they did one way or the other. I think, to me, frankly, that God was just putting it to a test. Who will drink from their hand and who will drink from lapping the water? God knew who would do it, I believe, with all that's within me. And he also wanted to show Gideon who and how mighty he was. See, only 300 men that day drank from cupping their hands into the water. Then God takes those who drank by sticking their face in the water. They left, leaving only 300 men. 300 will rescue Israel. That, folks, in my mind, is without a doubt crazy faith. See, God took 32,000 men to 300 to show his mighty work. It's going to take crazy faith in believing what God has promised. That America, now hear me on this, that America will truly, it's going to take crazy faith, that America will truly return to its grassroots of being a nation that it once was, believing that there is only one God, the great I Am, and keeping the same president in office current to being a nation that is government by the people. That takes crazy faith. Not being governed by what we call bureaucrats who have their own self-made desires. That all men, women, color, no matter what race, we stand united in a nation that serves God. It will take work, and all that freedom, folks, without a doubt, will come with a price. See, folks, God was angered truly at Israel because he wanted them to serve him only. They got their eyes off the Lord, and it says in God's word, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. But let's keep reading about this crazy love as we continue, starting with verse 9. And this is what it says. It says, the Midianite camp in the valley just below Gideon, that night, the Lord said, get up, go down to the Midianite camp, for I have given you the victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Purah and went down to the edge of the enemy camp, and the armies of the Midian and Amalek and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream that he had. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion, he interprets the dream. He says, your dream can mean only one thing, that God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelites, victory over the Midians and all its allies. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, get this, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. He has divided 300 men into three groups, and each man a ram's horn, a clay jar, and a torch. Now, this is pretty encouraging news as we looked at. See, God puts a dream in one of the Midianite soldiers. We find that Gideon and his servant Purah go into the enemy camp. They're sneaking in. And again, the enemy is described as an army of locusts. And the camels were so many of them as like the sands on the seashore. That is a lot of camels, too many to count. I'm thinking Gideon could have started the question asking God again, hey, are you seeing what I'm seeing? I can't even count the camels that are out there. Yet we see God is with Gideon all the time. See, Gideon, he comes up and he hears the dream of the enemy soldier. God placed the dream showing their defeat. The warrior tells the other warrior and interprets the dream itself. Now, I want you to get that. God put a dream in a person who wasn't an Israelite soldier or wasn't a believer of God himself, and also gave an interpretation through another man to do it. See, God uses people in incredible ways. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, and the Israelite army victory. I love what Gideon does next. He immediately bows before the Lord and he worships him. He knows that the Lord has found favor in him and the mighty 300. He goes back and tells his men that God has given us victory over the enemy. You want to have crazy faith? Start praying and worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ because of the victory over the demonic oppression on America is going to be released. The tyranny, the anti-God, the deception of the existing leadership in the government is going to be vanquished and God is going to show his mighty hand. It's back to I still believe. See, Gideon and his 300 men still believe that God would vanquish the enemy, and it was going to take crazy faith. I'm going to ask you this morning, what kind of faith do you have? Is it crazy faith? Is it a faith that can believe the things that you cannot see, or are you only setting into what's before you? Today, folks, our faith and what we believe is being challenged at no greater time than it has been in this day in which we live. Yes, other generations has seen it and were challenged in their faith as well. But this is our time. In the midst of, for the most part, we have had it pretty easy in America. We have had things sailing along pretty well. Now all of a sudden, there's a shift. There's a shaking. There's a shuddering in the midst of our nation. And it's going to be challenging today of where your faith stands. Are you going to be willing to stand no matter how things play out in 3 days? Are you going to be ready to stand and believe no matter how the things are that God will still be in control no matter if it's what you want That's a tough thing to think about, isn't it, this morning? It's going to take crazy love. But let's keep reading about what happens in Gideon, because some pretty exciting things happen here. It says, then he said, keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I did. And as soon as I do, those who follow me, blow their ram's horn and blow your horns too all around the entire camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly, they blew the ram's horns, and they broke their jars of clay. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands, and they all shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Man, can you get the moment? Man, I'll bet you, but I got tingles running up my back this morning just thinking about the moment of how God used Gideon in the 300 mighty Israelite warriors. Each man stood in position around the camp and watched as the Midianites rushed around in panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, and the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other, and they killed each other, and then those that were left fled to places as far as Bethshara near Zerah and the border of Eberloth near Tabith. Then Gideon sent for the warriors of Naphtali, Asherah, Manasseh, who joined in chasing the army of the Midians. Gideon also sent throughout the hill country of Ephraim, calling them, come down to attack the Midianites. Cut them off at the shallow crossings of the Jordan River at Beth Barah. So all the men of Ephraim did as they were told. They captured Oreb and Zeb, the two Midianite commanders, killing Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. And they continued to chase the Midianites after the Israelites brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan River. Man, a lot of bloodshed is going on in this portion of Scripture, isn't it? But see, God breaks the 300 into three groups of 100. And these men creep up, and they wait until midnight, until the guard changes. It's midnight, and the army is asleep. And Gideon tells his men, blow your ram's horn and break the jars of clay. It says that the Midianite warriors, they rose up. They hear the horns, the broken jars of clay. They see the torches, and they start shouting, a sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon. The Midian army was so confused, the Lord causes them to fight against each other. The Lord created that. They're killing one another. And can you hear the battle? The swords clanging, the yells and the screams. It was a frenzy at midnight, battlefield caused by the Lord, the slaughter of one another, and then they go running. See, Gideon calls on other men of local tribes, the warriors from the Naphtali, Asher, Manasseh, and from the hill country Ephraim. They came down to the Midianite army to kill the rest of them. They also got their leaders, Oreb and Zeb. God completed what he had promised, defeating the armies as if they were one man. Folks, I still believe with crazy faith that God isn't done with America. That he will vanquish the enemy, the deception of the media, and God will raise up leaders who will lead and give all glory and praise to God the Father, Jesus Christ his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's be an army today, the Lord's army, that prays and asks God for help. And also, as we're praying, we worship him with crazy faith and watch the Lord work. Folks, this morning, I want to go on record and say, I still believe. See, one thing I want to close with, another piece of scripture I want to take us this morning to Revelation 2, 25, 27. And I think this is for someone today who needs to hear these words that I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. It says this, starting with verse 25. Hold tightly to what I have until I come. To all who are victorious, who will obey me to the very end. To them I will give authority over the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. What a word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we can come and we can worship you in the midst of the battle. in the midst of looking for hope, in the midst of the storm of where our nation is today. Lord, I pray for those leaders. I pray for the leaders as the leaders of however it might play out, whether you continue what is or you make a change to what may be. I pray this morning, if Mr. Biden is to be our president, that you would change his heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come upon him and move him in a mighty way, if that is your will. If it's your will to continue to what is present, we pray that there's still a change in that as well. That there's a humbling. That there is a place in which the leadership that's pre-existing or the ones that are coming in will be humbled by you and know that you are God. Lord, I still believe. I pray that those that are listening to me today still believe. It's going to take crazy faith. But Lord, you're a mighty God. You're the same God who helped Abraham, led him to the promised land. You're the same God who parted the Red Sea for Moses. You're the same God who came and helped Gideon take the Midianite army with only 300 men. Today, Lord, we need you. We need your help. Help us to be victorious and stand in the midst of our faith. And we give you all praise, all glory, and we worship you. In your precious holy name, Jesus. Amen. Folks, I hope that you're encouraged today about the things that I believe without a shadow of a doubt and hope in the midst of the storm, still believe and have crazy faith. That is what it's going to take to endure to the end. And the promise of what I read this morning now out of Revelation. Those who endure to the end will rule the nations that are still present today. I thank you for listening. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.